On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on Dailies today. This morning, we're going to start with the Punch newspaper, page 2 of the Punch. Recalled envoy diplomat arrived today. Indonesia defends assault.
Right. So our own ambassador, to Indonesia, he arrives today. But what is of great interest is on Wednesday, the Punch correspondent obtained a copy of the Indonesian envoy's presentation to Onyema. Okay, and this is part of what he says. He says, given an account of the incident, the envoy disclosed that the immigration officers from South Jakarta Immigration Office were carrying out surveillance on foreigners when they asked Ibrahim for identification, but the diplomat allegedly refused to identify himself or tender his passport. So if the immigration officers asked for his passport, if he had tendered his diplomatic passport, according to this story, maybe he could have been avoided. But remember, this is the Indonesian story. It says that by the time they met with Ibrahim and politely requested him to show his travel document, he answered that his passport was in his room. Then the officer asked him, can we see your travel document to check the residence permit and if there are no problems with the document, so you may continue your activities. Now, if you tally that with saying the passport was in his room, so all the travel documents, of course, would most likely have been in his room. It doesn't say here that they asked him that, please, can you go to your room and bring this? It doesn't say that here. I'm not saying, but it doesn't say that. Then says Mr. Ibrahim was not willing to show his passport and said to the officer, you will know who really I am and be careful on that. You will know who really I am and be careful of that. He's quoted to have said that. Now, we don't know if these immigration officers wear, body cams. Mm. We don't know. Now, the Indonesian account now says that instead of showing his identity card, Mr. Ibrahim was angry and said, just arrest me and you will regret to know who really I am. Just arrest me and you will regret to know who really I am. Mm. The officer said, we will not detain you further, sir, if you can show us your identity card. Then Mr. Ibrahim said, where is your car? I will come to your office. I can't reconcile these two sentences as to where is your car and saying I will come to your office. I can't tie them in. Anyway, on the way to the immigration office in South Jakarta, several incidents happened. Mr. Ibrahim elbowed the immigration officer, Mr. Laude Hausan Baidi, who was sitting next to him until Mr. Laude's lip was bleeding.
Oh, wow.
We would like to see the evidence of that. Mm. This led to other officers restraining him from attacking another officer during the trip, explaining that Ibrahim later showed his identity card. Arab further said, as of February 22, 2021, there were 180 Nigerian citizens, and then it goes on to show, and that in any case, the issue was resolved when the Nigerian High Commissioner to Indonesia arrived at the South Jakarta Immigration Office around 6:30 p.m., together with the staff and his police guard from the directorate. And then he said the officer injured by Ibrahim lodged a complaint about the attack on him, but did not process it further, and so on and so forth. So that is the story of the Indonesians. I'd like us to be open-minded about this. Like us to be open-minded until we can actually tie up the story. Mm. Some things stand out here. You will know who really I am. The Nigerian lingo. Mm. Do you know who I am? Mm. And so on and so forth. The logical question that keeps occurring to me is that if Mr. Ibrahim is truly a diplomat, because we haven't been told what his capacity is, in what capacity he works as a diplomat, but if he did have a diplomatic passport, would the immigration officers have handled him roughly? We don't know. These are the kind of questions that we need to ask ourselves. But all said and done, at the end of the day, it still looks messy
It is.
You know, that it, this it, kind of thing it, happened yeah,
it's messy.
To a Nigerian.
It's messy, really.
What are your thoughts on it?
I actually personally think that we need to hear from the Nigerian authority. Remember that Nigeria really didn't give account of what had happened?
Okay.
But because I was thinking that the diplomat himself would have told the Nigerian authority what transpired.
Exactly.
But they did not tell us anything.
We don't even know. We hear he's a diplomat. We don't know whether he's like
initially, they didn't reveal who he is, actually, except for this account from the Indonesian authorities. The Nigerian authority did not reveal to us who.
So what could that be telling us? Could they be looking at, you know, could they be looking at a situation where their hands are tied, that the diplomat didn't do the proper thing? What I know from travel over the years is the authorities have the right to ask for some identification from you. And that even if you have diplomatic cover, you need to show it, which is very simple. I think once you have a diplomatic passport, ironically, even do have another color, really. I mean, right. So once you show your diplomatic passport in any sane country, you should be good to go. But when I read things like, you will know who I am, then that Nigerian thing, you know, begins to creep him. When he says, just arrest me and you regret to know who really I am, I don't think the Indonesian police are like... Now, I'm not casting blame on anybody. Yeah. I just want to lay out the facts. And like Sherif said, until we get the full rounded whatever, we just have to wait and be patient.
Yeah. Well, we're hearing that they are coming back home today. That's what the headline says, the diplomat.
Oh, the diplomat is coming back home. But the ambassador came ahead of him.
Yeah.
How come the ambassador and the diplomat didn't come together? Maybe he wasn't ready.
We'll see. Hush Poppy, 31 Northern lawyers volunteer to defend Kyari against FBI.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that Kyari has 31 lawyers to defend him. But from the way the story is presented, there is a habit that, you know, in this country now, where rather than let those accused face the system of justice, we tend to politicize it. You know, we tend to look at the story here. Ordinarily, it should be okay. He has 31 lawyers, which is no big deal. How the number of lawyers affects your case, really, apart from the bravado side of things, I don't know. One young lawyer who is smart can knock out any case. I don't know if you do need 31.
We do that a lot.
But to now again find in the papers that you're saying 31 Northern lawyers. I mean, are we saying because Kyari is a Northerner, that's why the FBI wants him? You know, so we are all complicit in this. If I had to write this story, I'd knock out it's good for sensationalism, but it's a habit that we have to stop. You know, where all of us feel compelled that anybody who is accused of, especially in criminal cases, his people must come up to defend him. I don't think that is right, and I don't think that is the place to go. It's part of what I'll be discussing at 9 o'clock, you know, our ethics. And we need to have a reorientation. I am not saying that people can turn up to defend him, but to now blow it up and say 31 Northern lawyers. Come on, guys. I don't think the FBI knows a Northerner from a Southerner. This is a straightforward thing. But it has crept into our psyche. And those of us in the media need to watch out for things like this.
Indeed. I totally agree with you. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also
don't
live.
Want to argue with me.
I said I totally agree with you.
I thought you said I don't want to argue with you. I'm waiting patiently. I'm in fighting mood this morning.
Today, Abi?
I'm telling you. That jacket, you take
what,
it off.
What happened overnight?
Is it hit? I don't know what happened overnight, Sherif. This is very unfair.
We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, and we're seeing your comments here. Some are saying that the minister explained what happened, and... some are saying that they believe the minister and they don't believe the Indonesian account of events. I haven't watched the video, I didn't see what the minister said.
Yeah, I don't. That's okay. I mean, it's a matter of opinion. That's okay. But sometimes in trying to be patriotic, we also need to look at the truth. That is where I stand. Mm. I'm a patriotic Nigerian, yeah. but I also like to look at the truth. So that I have a well-rounded, well-rounded argument, and so on and so forth. I believe in the truth, being patriotic, but the truth must always prevail.
I agree. Now, to the Vanguard, page 5 of the Vanguard. COVID-19, NMA, others seek shutdown of NYSC camps. As another one, okay, the full story is inside page 27. Mm. There you go.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. Let's be honest with ourselves. All is not well with this youth core camp and whatever it is. Mm. I'm not asking people to, but it would be very difficult for you to convince me to keep my child in an NYSC camp under these circumstances. And I think the government, should admit to itself that all is not well. Shut down the camp and let everybody go home. I mean, shut down the camp and let everybody go home. But the officials who are deciding to keep the camp going should tell us, for example, how would they feel if any of their children were in those camps? And it says that there are more COVID cases at NYSC camps than reported, says federal government. And if the NMA is advising the government, Nigerian Medical Association is advising the government to close down the camp, they have just got to do that. They jolly well should do that. And the NMA called for the suspension of camp activities if the government cannot vaccinate all youth corps members. Why critical stakeholders in the educational sector blame negligence on the part of officials for the reported surge in COVID-19 cases in orientation camps? The government should quickly do the needful and not put our children at risk. For crying out loud and for God. The world will not come to an end if there's no services here, or at least if there's no camp. You can immediately disperse them to their primary assignments and have the camp at the end of the exercise in a year's time. If it permits us to have such a gathering. Here you are, on one hand, we are trying to discourage people gathering, and now you want to keep a camp going. I don't think it's right. You haven't vaccinated them, like the NMA says. Send them home or send them to their primary assignments.
Do you think NYSC has outlived its purpose?
I think it has. We can't sustain it properly. What I see in NYSC camps today is a far cry from what we experienced. The numbers are phenomenal. We can't handle it properly. Maybe we should make it voluntary, or pump more money and resources into this exercise. This PTO that I wrote, if you don't mind, I just want to quickly read some headlines here that caught my attention. 73-year-old pastor sues grandson for wife-child snatching. Yes, a 73-year-old pastor sues grandson. He sues his grandson for wife-child snatching. Yes, so go find it. Another story that caught my attention here is boy herder with AK-47 arrested in Ogun. Look at the word.
Yes, I saw that. I saw this story yesterday.
Yes.
He was caught hiding inside the bush.
Yes.
The villagers, saw something and they reported quickly to the police. The police mobilized and to the scene and
imagine if this boy surfaced in your neighborhood and you thought it was somebody you know and you call, hey, it's come. Come, take this money, go and buy me bread. And he says, okay, go away. Get away. And he says, look at this poor boy. You give him one knock on the head with that. Then he shows up with it.
He shows up with it. AK-47.
AK-47. Look at his photograph. He's there.
Yeah. He's holding it. Show money.
His hand is not on the trigger. But look, but he's carrying it well.
Yeah.
You can see. This is a well-trained. He's a young boy. He identified himself as Muhammad. That's why
this is unfortunate.
These two stories caught my attention, and I said I'll bring it to you. You can find the story in the Vanguard.
Yeah. Let's move on to page 8. We're seeing with the Vanguard. We have two stories on this page that we'll be looking at. FG to reintroduce toll gates on highways. Fashola says only 14.3% of 35,000 federal roads eligible. Vehicles to pay between 150 naira and 500 naira toll per trip. Exempt diplomatic, military, paramilitary vehicles, tricycles and motorcycles.
Well, you've heard it. He explains that we don't have time to go through his thorough explanation. But I think the first thing the nation needs to ask, needs to demand from President Obasanjo, is who is going to now pay for building up toll gates that he destroyed. You know, okay, fair enough. During your tenure, you thought there was no need for toll collection because it had been seriously compromised. Mm. And instead of just stopping that, you demolished all the toll gates. Now we have to build them, you know. Who does that? What kind of a country are we? Somebody needs to demand from him the cost of building this because I don't know, fair enough, you don't want to, but it should occur to you that there might be a need for it to be reintroduced later. Here we are now, we are not burdened with having to build a new set of toll gates. You know, I don't understand the way governance goes in this country. But the minister puts up, it is quite clear that the federal government cannot maintain a lot of their roads. And he makes a case that most of the roads that will be told there will be alternate routes, you know.
Yeah.
So vehicles to be exempted, diplomatic vehicles, military vehicles, and so on and so forth. So that's what you should expect. And I think federal roads really are high. They're high roads, like traveling, you know, roads which people travel on.
So let's take a look at the second story on that page. Ban on Twitter to be lifted soon, FG.
Well, let's just wait for that to happen. It says in a few days from now, the federal government and Twitter have reached certain agreements. And I condole with everybody for some people, the losses they've incurred. I've been badly hit on my blog. I've been badly hit, and I know even the station has been badly hit. But let's just, rather than keep arguing for or against, let's hope that this Twitter thing will come and all of us will make use of it in a responsible manner. It makes it a bit safer for us too, once certain things have been agreed. All these what do you call somebody who tweets? The thing is, he tweets, there's Twitter. So who do you call somebody? It's also a Twitter now. But it's ER.
Yeah. Twitter is ER always.
So somebody who tweets, is he a tweet?
No. It's just a person who tweets.
No, a person who tweets.
It's just a person who tweets.
They should have something for it now. You have Facebookers.
They call them Twitter users or something.
No, but they should compress it to one word. Are they tweets?
No. We can't compare it. We can't compress it. Let's leave it as Twitter users.
Let's leave it as Twitter users. But all of us have taken a bad hit.
No, it's been huge, actually. It's been huge. Yes. Those that do business there, those that don't do business there, everybody. As long as you use Twitter. Because I hear complaints from those who even use, what's it called now, the VPN, that it's not been easy using the VPN because it's kind of stressful.
Well, apart from being stressful, why I didn't, you know, bother to use the VPN is because it's very risky.
Yes, it is.
And it can expose all what you have. There's something I saw yesterday. Please remind me, Sheriff, to call attention of our people to it. I'm going to put it up on my Instagram later this morning.
Okay.
On how all the information that, you know, goes through your phone can be exposed to those. I think it's called Pulse also. I can't remember. I just saw it in a haze early this morning. I promise to bring it up tomorrow, you know. But I'll put it on my Instagram page this morning, so you can go look for it there. We all need to be very careful how we use the social media. Okay. In fact, let me even add, if it's not really necessary, it's becoming too dangerous to even use for entertainment. You know, and there is no hiding place.
Yeah.
From that documentary that I saw, there is no hiding place for anybody. So we all need to be very, very careful. Very, very careful.
So we're getting reactions as to what you call someone who uses Twitter.
Yes.
And it's trips.
Trips.
Or trips.
It doesn't sound right. I mean,
tweet
is not a nice name to use, but that's anybody who tweets is a tweet. But I wouldn't want anybody to call me a tweet.
Tweet.
Anyway, it's good fun to have on the morning like this.
Mm. Now, take a look at this story here. Crisis, why we insist on party's intervention in Lagos, APC group.
You know, I'd thought that the APC split was two-way. I didn't know that there are a group of other people. There's a group, for example, led by Princess Adenrile Ogosanya, you know, who was one time secretary to the government. They're grouping up, and they're saying that what we need now is action. Let's make APC a more democratic party. They're disagreeing with, you know, they say the last election shows that people are not happy with the happenings in Lagos, and that's why they chose to stay away from the local government election. It's true, the apathy, you could feel it in the air. It's time for young people to take over and run the show to return Lagos to Lagos. Some people are with us, but still staying quiet now. That is typical. Okay, they'll say some things in the back. They can't come to the forefront and express themselves. That's why the national leadership must intervene now to save the party. Another paragraph says that dismissing the claim by the publicity secretary of the APC caretaker committee, Sheyi Oladejo, that the lead convener of Lagos for Lagos, Abdulaziz Olajide Adediran, popularly known as Jandor, I heard there's this gentleman called Jandor who's going for governorship, has constituted himself an opposition within the party. And Ijaye Kunle says that the group never believed in the leadership of Tunde Balogun. That's my honest opinion. They're talking about, imagine. Led caretaker committee to midwife the credible executives at all levels in the party. Across the parties, it's mayhem across the two parties. What interests me here is this gentleman called Jandor, because I've heard it. I don't like that sound. It doesn't sound quite, I don't like that kind of nickname. And I think I expressed that to some people that I met who represent him. I think he should look for another nickname or just put his name forward. Jandor, it doesn't represent something good in my ears.
Oh,
but that's up to him. That's up to him. But I heard it's called Jandor. You know, he get as if
he get as if he
get as if. My advice to them is let him just come with his name and forget Jandor and all these things. But he has put his head out forward for 2023. Yeah. Under which party he tends to do that, we don't know. But I think it's about time to bring him to the studio and let him come say what he has to say. But my first advice to him, but I don't give advice publicly that I can't say privately, that I can't say publicly, is that this Jandor can be a bit off-putting. He has to go look. But then again, hey, it's a matter of numbers. The relevant, the bulk of the voters might find that interesting.
I agree.
We elite have our own.
There's a way. They understand their internal mechanisms and all of it.
But of what now, the name?
They know. They know what it means. When you hear Jandor anywhere, you
would
know.
Would you like to be called Jandor?
Like, you're like,
Tualesa.
You know.
Okay. Maybe we should look for. Let's call. I will tell her. What's her name? Wumi. No.
Is that?
She's coming to my. Adewumi.
Is that?
A woman in house now. Who's going to be here tomorrow?
Who is that?
Look at two adults. We can't remember.
In house.
Wemimo.
Okay. Okay.
So, maybe she'd like to be called the Jandores. I should be laughing at this. We couldn't remember.
I was actually thinking you were referring to a guest or something.
No, it's part of his old age. Whether you like it or not, it's... Every day you are getting closer.
Yeah.
When you were running up the staircase this morning, I was telling Philip that there was a time I could run up at the same speed. You know what Philip said?
What Philip said,
maybe in about 20 years from now, he'll be remembering what I said. He too will not be
true. It's time. Waits for no one. Well, it's been fun doing this. What's coming up at 9?
We are going to talk about values and ethics, not in the Nigerian setting. We are going to talk about that. Some issues are going to crop up. For example, one of the things we are going to be looking at is this very strong rumor that the CBN governor had a 60th birthday party in Jamaica.
Jamaica
was attended by bank. I mean, these are the little things And of course, we're going to
be that, lavish and
it was lavish.
Private jets everywhere.
It's not done.
CBN why? Is it not his money?
It's his money. But you see, when you take up certain responsibilities, some things are just not right.
Ah,
you see, you have a choice to make. If you want to be independent, and you're not taking up
government. He's a free citizen. Though.
A CBN governor should not. In fact, it's been turned almost into show business.
You know, let's leave that to 8 o'clock.
Till 9.
Till 9 o'clock.
What are you discussing at
it? Today is International Youth Day.
Ah.
So okay. I'm having some doctors, lawyers who are youths, by the way.
Yeah.
In the studio, and we'll talk about everything.
I should join them. I'm a youth.
Excuse me.
Youth. Youth is a function of the
let
mind,
me come
not the body.
Let me come and be good. You don't spoil my money.
Youth is a function. I'm just like a youth.
we'll try and consider you later. Not now.
After the first.
Lagos, you have to go. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in. Morning to you.
You know that feeling when you keep downloading and streaming interesting videos, but your mind keeps whispering, continue, your pockets go hear them.
But not anymore. When you subscribe to MTN's affordable and reliable monthly data bundles, you will enjoy 10 gigabyte with just 3,000 naira and 20 gigabyte for 5,000 naira only.